So I want to discuss tonight the Isser of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, or the concept of Midvar Sheker Tirchak, the idea that you were supposed to stay away from lying, and the tie-in is to Parshas Toldos. The Rabbi Yona brings this up, not in Source 6, but in the paragraph earlier, that when Yaakov disguises himself as Esav, he says he doesn't want to do it because I'm going to seem like I'm fooling Yitzchak. So again, that parsha, to understand that in a strictly halachic sense, is not giving it the full, you know, the full picture, because in the end of the day, it came from a nevuah that Rivka told him to do it, and you know, Hashem told Avram to slaughter Yitzchak. So you're not going to talk about whether there was an Isser of Los Yitzchak or not. Here too, there was a nevuah that he was supposed to do this. But yet, the idea that even though it might have been okay to do it, the idea that you didn't want to seem like a liar, so you see that there's a value of not lying, which we know. And the Makor is in Parshas Shemot, Midvar Sheker Tirchak. The Gemara here has two cases in Source 2 in Shavuos Lamed Aleph. So the first case is that if you're sitting and watching a Din Torah and you see a schus for someone, you could speak up. You're allowed to speak up, and you didn't speak up, so that would be a violation of Midvar Sheker Tirchak. So you see that even if you don't say anything and you just allow falsehood to kind of propagate itself, that's a problem. So that's one extreme. At the same time, the Gemara Ksuvis is a famous Gemara. Kates Marakni Lifnei Akala. How are you supposed to praise the Kala? So Shammai says, you know, you got to say it as it is. Kala Kamoshi doesn't mean that you should insult her. Meaning, if you don't think she looks nice, but she has nice shoes, and you say you have nice shoes or something, but you can't lie. And Beis Hillel says, Kala Nava Chasuda. Right? You say that she's nice looking, even though you don't really believe it. So Beis Hillel says, Beis Shammai says, what happens to Midvar Sheker Tirchak? And they don't really answer. They just say, well, what happens if somebody buys something and then you don't like it afterwards? Should you say nice things about it, or should you denigrate it? So how do we understand Midvar Sheker Tirchak? Meaning, on the one hand, you're supposed to say, even to not say a falsehood, but to be a participant, it's a problem. At the same time, Beis Hillel seems to condone outright bending the truth. You have also the Gemara in Yevamos. Mutul Adam Lashanos Bedvar HaShalom. You're allowed to kind of bend the truth in order to make peace. And that we find in Parshas Vayechi, Avicha Tziva, right, that the brothers told Yosef, you know, your father told us to forgive, even though that conversation never happened. The Gemara Bava Metzia also talks about Bahani Tzlas Mili Avida Rabbanan de Mishana Vimilaya. There are three things which even Talmidei Chachamim will sometimes bend the truth on, but Maseches, like they'll say, somebody asks, are you holding in Maseches Chulin? And you say, no, I never learned it, even though you did. You know, you're just doing it out of humility. The Puraya, matters of Tznius. And Ushpiza, if you stayed at somebody's house and they ask you what you think of it, so you don't have to prop it up because you're worried that that then everyone's going to want to stay there. So you see that there are sometimes you're allowed to bend the truth. So Rabbi Yona says that if it doesn't affect anyone else negatively, meaning you're not doing a business deal online, you're saying something that's not going to affect them negatively, so it's less serious, and therefore the rabbis permitted it in certain cases. And he gives the example of Darkei Shalom, that peace is a higher value than the Isser of lying when nobody else is affected by it. The Ritva could be saying the same thing. He says, Yishem Chenebeinav, meaning this is going back to Beis Hillel, Kal Nava Chasuda. He says, Kol Shehu, Mibnei Darkei Shalom, Ein Bo Mishum Nidvar Sheker Tirchak. When it's for peaceful matters, so either you say there's an override, or you say that the whole mitzvah doesn't exist in the first place. So it could be the same as Rabbeinu Yonah, it could be not. Sefer Yerayim writes that lying is only prohibited because it could lead to somebody else losing out in the process. But if there's no way that anyone's going to lose out, so maybe it's not a problem. The Rambam doesn't actually formulate a halacha of not to lie. When he talks about the Gemara Bava Metzia, the Gemara Bava Metzia is talking about who you can trust to return an aveda with tefiyas ayin, meaning most people have to give simanim, they have to give identifying marks. A Talmid Chacham can look at it and say, yeah, this is for sure mine. So it has to be someone who doesn't lie. So the Rambam quotes that, and he writes that such an individual, you can give it back with tefiyas ayin. The only time the Rambam formulates this this idea of not lying is in Hilchos Deos, when he talks about the midos that a person should have. So one of them is, if you look four lines from the bottom, Lo Yosef Lo Yigra Ela B'Divrei Shalom V'Kayotiv, and he shouldn't bend the truth unless it's for peaceful purposes. So Rabbi Soloveitchik is in Rishima Shiurim Teshuvus Lamed Aleph, says that maybe the Rambam's position is that Midvar Sheker Tirchak, or this idea, is more of a Mida. It's a character trait, meaning we're supposed to be honest people. Honest people don't lie. So if you lie, you're not an honest person. It's a Mida that we're supposed to have. But Midos, in general, the way Mida, by definition, means measurement. Measurement means, like, sometimes, and that's what Hilchos Deos is all about, sometimes, you know, most of the time you're supposed to distance yourself from getting angry. Once in a while, you need to exhibit some form of anger in rare circumstances. And every meet is like that. You know, if you're too easygoing, people will walk all over you. So you have to be assertive. So we can go through all the different mitos. And that's what Hilchos Deos is all about. So lying is on that list. Generally speaking, you don't lie. Once in a blue moon, there comes a situation where you bend the truth, even though you're a truthful person. And this is why, you know, Yaakov Avinu is known as Titen Emes LeYaakov. He's the paradigm of telling the truth. And yet he fooled Esav, he fooled Lavan, because his Mido was Emes, and then he was tested to, you know, in certain circumstances, can he bend a little in order to get to that point. The Gemara notes one important exception. The Gemara quotes a story that Rav's wife used to always play tricks on him, and she would always, you know, when he asked for chicken, she would give him fish. When she asked for fish, she would give him chicken. So, right. So the son came, and you know, and he was like the go-between. So he kind of figured that out, and he made it so that Rav got what he wanted. And Rav said, not a good idea. Because it's limdu l'shonum dava sheker. With kids, that's what the Gemara says with regards to a lulav also, that you can't, meaning in order to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav, you need to own it. So you can't give the kid the lulav and say it's yours, even though you have in mind, I'm not really being makna at him, I'm not giving it over. But Lev Shalom, he'll give it back to you. You own it. He thinks he owns it. And he's doing the mitzvah, so you're training him properly. So that's what the Aruch HaNer points out, that it's all a game, meaning that he may not know right now that the mitzvah of lulav requires him to own it. So you could really get away with giving him the lulav and making him think that, you know, you don't have to tell him anything. But then when he gets older, he's going to be like, wait a second, I learned the lulav hagozel v'yavesh, you know, I learned the first Mishnah, the third parak, that you have to own the lulav in order to fulfill the mitzvah. So you say, yeah, don't worry. Back then, I tricked you. I told you that I'm giving it to you, but I didn't really have that in mind. So then, you know, what happens to the whole chinuch process? He's going to think the whole thing is a joke, and he's going to, you know, who knows what his reaction is going to be. So that's what Aruch HaNer points out, that you have to be honest. In terms of business, though, that's a whole different parsha. Meaning, until now, we're only talking about where nobody else is negatively affected. In the context of business, so that's what sources 16, 17, 18 point out. You know, you can't cheat in business. That's not Midvar Sheker Tirchak. That's a separate iser of Gezela or Gnevas Das or whatever it is. there are, and I'll just do this quickly. So what about in a case where you know that it's a business dealing and you know that you're entitled to whatever it is, but you need to lie to get to that point? I'll give an example that's brought up here. You bought, this is in Eretz Yisrael, so you bought a bus pass for the month. Okay, so whatever, November. You bought November's bus pass. And you left it at home. And you have a friend who will lend you his. So normally to borrow your friend's unlimited bus pass would be Gezel. He paid for it and he can take as many rides as he wants. You cannot take a ride with his bus pass. But you bought one, you just happened to leave it at home. So are you allowed to do that? So Razan Nechemia says that might be okay. Or let's say somebody, and this is in the Titan Emes L'Yaakov, incidentally, Rabbi Bleich points, I heard him point out once, there's a Sefer Titan Emes L'Yaakov, and he gives like 150 ways that you don't always have to tell the truth. He says, I don't understand why I call it Titan Emes L'Yaakov, it should be called Titan Sheker L'Yaakov. So he has a case, well, let's say somebody writes you, this happened to me once, somebody writes you a check and they forgot to sign it. So you know that he wants to give you the money, but whenever you're too embarrassed, it was like for us, it was like a, it was, you know, when our son was born, somebody wrote a check and he didn't sign it. So what do you do? So he thinks that you can sign it. Now, he doesn't say whose signature you're signing. I mean, I would think that if you sign the other person's signature, that would be a problem. I mean, that's mamish like Adus. You know, you're signing his name. You sign your name and you hope the bank doesn't catch it. That could be what he's talking about. You know, or just, you know, scribble and hope they don't catch it. So you know the person wanted to give you the money, so maybe that's okay. And the last point to discuss, the Rambam doesn't seem to say that you could do that. Meaning, the Rambam... I mean, the Gemara in Shavuos already says that you can't really make tainas, even though your claim, let's say your claim, you want to make a claim that's not true, even though you know that you were owed the money. It doesn't sound like you could do that, but I guess in certain limited circumstances when, you know, it's not really the ends justifying the means, meaning you're entitled to the thing, and if you told, I would say that the difference is, in the case with the bus, if you told the guy the whole story, and the only reason why he wouldn't let you do it is because he doesn't believe you. So that's a different scenario than making false claims to kind of get what you think you're entitled to. The last thing I'll point out, what about exaggeration? Can you exaggerate? So the Sde Chemed thinks that sometimes, you know, you see in letters, you know, Hagona, etc. So maybe that's not appropriate. You know, you should try to do it in a way that's somewhat in line with what the person deserves. Rav Schechter always, and this is in Nefesh HaRav, Rav Schechter tells a story that Nodeb Yehuda had this whole, I don't have time to go into the whole story, Nodeb Yehuda had this whole back and forth with the Rav in Turkey. And the reason why he did it was it was a local Shaila, but he wanted to pretend that it happened in Turkey. And he wrote to this Rav in Turkey, Hagona, you know, all the praises. So Rav Isaac Harif bought a sefer based on the great praises, and he didn't like the sefer, so he went to Rav Chaim and he said, you know, when I get up to Shemayim, I'm gonna ask Nodeb Yehuda to pay me my money back. So Rav Chaim pointed out that there were some good pieces in that sefer that is worthwhile for him to buy it.
This is okay, what you said in two, where you have, if you hear a falsehood, you have.